a product of General Mills, presents Joan Blaine in Valiant Lady. And here is Art Millett.
If anyone asked you what are the most important foods for a youngster, you'd probably think of milk, first of all, wouldn't you? Because milk is important for its calcium. Then, too, you'd probably think of fruit, because they are the so-called protective foods. And going to cereals, you'd mention whole wheat. Whole wheat is so strong on food energy that it rounds out the value of milk and fruit in such foods. And also, whole wheat provides good protein, phosphorus and iron, and vitamin B. Now, you'd say, wouldn't you, that milk and fruit and whole wheat are champion foods. Well, then, when we put all three together, what do we get? What but a breakfast of champions. So in this very practical sense, Wheaties with milk or cream and fruit is that famous breakfast of champions. It's a breakfast of champion foods, as well as a breakfast that sports champions go for in such a big way. Now, Joe DiMaggio, for instance, here's what he says. That breakfast of champions, Wheaties with plenty of milk or cream mixed with some kind of fruit, is just about the swellest dish I've ever eaten. Well, you can be sure it's a swell dish for food value, as well as taste appeal. A true breakfast of champions, however you look at it. And all you have to do is hold that orange and blue Wheaties package tilt-wise over the cereal bowls. Those crisp, toasted Wheaties flakes tumble out in a golden heap of nourishing goodness. Put a pitcher of milk or cream on the table and maybe orange juice, and your youngsters will do a champion job at downing a fine, nourishing breakfast. Wouldn't it be a good idea to order a package or two of Wheaties today? Now, Valiant Lady. Joan Barrett has become involved in the gossip surrounding Paul. Yesterday, Mike Hagen pointed out to Paul the obvious fact that his continued presence in Pine River can only bring more trouble to Joan and Jim. And so ever since his talk with Mike, Paul Morrison sat smoking his pipe, staring into the fire, and thinking. But just a moment ago, he crossed the room to his desk, picked up his pen, and...
Dear Joan, I don't know how I'm going to find words to tell you what I had to say. Though the ugly and unpleasant events of the past few days are responsible for this letter, I don't want to talk about them. I'd rather remember other moments we spent together. Our first meeting, when I brought your little lost boy back to you. I thought your voice was all I'd ever know of you. Then came the injury which brought me into your home. And lying there, in that little room, I saw you for the first time.
Talk to you?
Yes, I'd like to very much. If you're sure it won't tire you.
I can't imagine anything less tiring or more stimulating to an invalid. Oh. No, no. What I want to say is that... thank you for all you've done for me.
Strange that you should say that. You didn't give me a chance to thank you for bringing Bill back to us.
Oh, that. I just did what anybody would have done.
And so did we, when we found you all crumpled up in the snow. I won't accept your thanks until you've taken mine.
All right, then. We're even.
You're very kind.
Am I? You're very beautiful. The whole room brightened when you came in.
And then the long, fantastic nightmare of flight. Suspicion of murder. Arrest. And pretense of guilt because I thought my own sister was guilty. Who believed in me then? You. Who who kept on fighting for me up to the day my cell door swung open.
You're free, Paul. Free to walk out of here whenever you like.
But...
and so is Pauline. Shall we go and unlock her door?
Oh, yes, of course. But... oh, Lord, I can't realize it yet. Free. Not only from prison, but from brooding and hating. Joan, you did it.
Paul, no.
You opened the door in more ways than one. Because even when I doubted Pauline and she doubted me, you believed in us both. And you were the only one who did.
That isn't important now, Paul. All that matters is that you're both free. You can take up your painting again. Go back to New York or Paris.
Oh, stay right here in Pine River.
Oh, do you think you might?
I don't think there's any question about it. An artist, Joan, is no better than his inspiration. And from now on, I know where to look for mine.
I meant that, Joan. And it wasn't only gratitude for your loyalty or appreciation of your beauty. What then? I tried to tell you the next morning. Only nervousness made me go about it in such an elaborately offhand way.
I'll go to the door with you.
By the way, there was one other thing I meant to tell you.
What?
Let me see. What was it?
I'm sure I don't know.
I had it right on the tip of my tongue just now. And
I'll open the door, and the fresh air may revive your memory.
Oh, yes. Sure enough, I know.
Well, that's a relief. What is it?
I'm in love with you.
What did you say?
I said I'm in love with you.
You're in...
yes, but you're so busy this morning. We'll discuss the matter later. I'll call you, Miss Barrett.
Even as my pen puts the words on paper, I can't believe it happened just that way. For there was nothing light or flippant about my feeling for you. A feeling that grew with the realization that our ideas about life and living were so much alike.
Seriously, Paul, don't you think that people make a mistake in getting so far from this good earth that they forget about it?
I suppose we do.
I know we do. Oh, think of the city children who've never felt cool green grass under their little bare feet.
Hmm?
Think of the businessmen whose lives are so hedged about with clocks and calendars and train schedules that they miss the whole point of living. The other day I was... now, that's off the subject.
Say it anyway.
Well, the other day I was reading to Bill, Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the part where the Red Queen and Alice run so fast and get nowhere.
Oh, yes, one of my favorites.
Mine, too. There was poor Alice, all tired out. So discouraged, because she was just where she started from.
Poor thing.
Remember what she said, Paul?
Huh?
In our country, you generally get to somewhere else if you ran very fast for a long time, as we've been doing.
Yes, and the Red Queen replied, a slow sort of country. Now, here it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place.
That's it. And that's the way we are, Paul. We don't give ourselves time to enjoy simple things like, well, this, for instance. Because we feel that we must keep moving, keep ahead of the next fellow.
I think we felt it then, Joan. I know I did. I hoped I hadn't spoiled it by being so casual and unconcerned, my attitude toward you. Some crazy perverseness makes me put my deepest feelings into the airiest words. I'm sorry. I hope you'll believe the explanation I gave you the other day.
rather sure of yourself. Aren't you, Paul?
No. No, I'm not. I'm scared to death. Just a poor, lovelorn bloke whistling in the dark, trying to keep his courage up.
Oh, Paul.
That's true, you know. It's as if my dream might come true if I keep telling myself that it will. And telling you that it will. Someday you might get used to the idea of loving me.
If I'm supposed to fall in love with the idea, and then transfer the feeling to you, that seems like a rather flimsy foundation to build on.
No. The foundation's firm, Joan. What is it that makes us like the same things? Laugh at the same things, and know that all the time beneath our laughter there's something deeper. So that when we're simply walking down the street in the morning sunshine and my hand seems to brush against yours, I'm instantly aware that this is you, Joan, whom I love.
You're very sweet, Paul.
I'm in love. Joan.
Yes?
Can you tell me truthfully that you might as well be walking along with just anyone? That when your hand touches mine, there's no answering awareness that this is Paul, who loves me, whom someday perhaps... Perhaps.
Yes, Paul. There is something. It may be love or just a strange sort of sympathy. Something that I can't even define. I don't know.
Now, perhaps neither of us will ever know. Joan, there's only one way to put an end to all the trouble I brought you and your family. I'm going away. I may never see you again, but I shall never forget you, Joan. Never. Never.
And so, to the accompaniment of memories that will go with him always, Paul makes his decision to sacrifice his own happiness out of consideration for Jones. Is it as he says, goodbye? In putting Jones' happiness before his own, Paul has revealed a quality we can all admire. Of course, that kind of sacrifice has been made time and time again. And don't you think that a mother in particular will put the happiness of her family ahead of her own? Perhaps you will answer that she finds happiness this way, that she shares in the happiness of others. Well, I'm thinking that you can share in the happiness your youngsters take in those crisp, toasted Wheaties flakes because you can know their whole wheat with its fine nourishment. And you'll enjoy the crisp, appetizing goodness of Wheaties yourself. Wheaties are toasted, ready to serve. You just shake them out of the package. It's a bright orange and blue package lettered W-H-E-A-T-I-E-S. And there's a good supply, I'm sure, at your grocer's right now. Listen to Valiant Lady on Friday when we'll hear There's That Man Again. This is your announcer, Art Millett.